Poppies, welcome back. Another episode of Brain Pops, episode 49. Brain Pops, approaching mental and physical challenges behind the scenes of professional sports. And yeah, as always, I would like to welcome the thrilling master of his domain, Lennart Stechmann. Lennart, good to have you back.
Hey Dom, thanks for this nice introduction. I'm back with the regular excitement about another brand new episode with yet another very, very interesting guest. How are you today?
I'm good. I share your feelings.
The excitement?
I'm really excited as well. We have been waiting for this episode for quite a few days now, and we're happy.
Yes, very happy.
That we can have it today.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, thanks to your contacts, you made it possible. You know, Devin Hall, and he played with you last year in Bamberg. You know him well. And yeah, thanks to you being such a great guy, you know, those guys usually say, always say yes when you ask them if you can record a podcast. So shout out to you again. And yeah, maybe you can tell us a little bit about Devin. What can we expect today?
First of all, thanks for your comment about Devin. I think he has a great resume when it comes to basketball. He played for the University of Virginia, and then got drafted by OKC 2018, and he went to Australia. Played there, then he also played G League for OKC. And then last year he played for us in the BBL and also in the Champions League. And after this season, I was so happy when I heard that he's gonna join Milano in the Euro League.
Big step up.
Mm-hmm. Like I said in the beginning, there is like there are like a lot of things on his resume already. So he has now EuroLeague, Serie A in Italy, BBL, Champions League. He played in the G League. He also played a few games in the NBA. I forgot to mention that. My bad.
Come on. Give credit where it's due.
Exactly, and I think we will have a lot of topics we can touch on.
Yeah, exactly. And how old is he? 26 or
he's
something?
He's 26,
It's quite a resume at that age, and so many perspectives, like you said, with the different leagues, different levels he already experienced. So, very excited to talk to him about that, you know. And then we will have our usual questions, callbacks from earlier episodes. And this season, I realized we didn't even have a player yet. So this is our first player this season of Brain Pops. I'm very excited to do that. And have these Brain Pops coming our way.
And yeah, exactly. And Poppy's one thing I'll promise you already. He's a hell of a guy. You will find out soon.
All right, let's find out.
Exactly. All right, Poppies, there we are. And with us is Devin Hall. Devin, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you guys for having me. I've listened to a few of your...
It's great to have you on the show.
Listened to a few of you guys' podcasts, and, you know, you said, would I like to come on? I was like, of course, especially to help you out, Dom.
Yeah, well, that was actually nice when I asked you via voice message. You came straight away back to me, and... When I listened to your voice message, I was like, "Damn, really? He wants to come on? And that's awesome!" And I right away called Lennart because when I asked Lennart before what he thinks about Devin Hall, he was also like, he was through the roof. And then you responded right away, and yeah, now you're here. Thanks a lot for that. And I think we're gonna have a fruitful episode.
Yeah, let's do it.
For
man.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
So in the pre-show, we already talked a little bit about all your stations where you played already. Mm-hmm. And at such a young age, you experienced so many different leagues, like, college, Then you played in Australia, BBL, Champions League, and now it's the EuroLeague. You're at the top of Europe.
You forgot the NBA, yeah? Again.
Oh, NBA. We forgot that in the pre-show already. I obviously also have NBA experience. And we were wondering how your perception, like coming from the States, and how your perception changed, let's say, on the European basketball. Like, how was it when you were in the States hearing about it and now actually having a couple of seasons under your belt? How would you describe that?
Well, I mean, first, I knew it was going to be different. But I think once you actually get into the actual practices and games, then you start to experience it, right? So you've got to actually go through it to actually understand what's different about it. So there's spacing differences, there's physicality differences, there's speed differences, there's knowledge differences. So it's like, all right, well, how do I figure out all this stuff and then continue to put my game into that game? So I mean, it smacks you in the face early, but you kind of get used to it and you ask questions. And I think the most important part about it is you've got to be willing to, like, not act like you know everything. Ask questions, treat it as if you know nothing, and then go forward from there. So that's kind of how I took my approach from last year going into Bamberg. I mean, coming in as an American player, like in a rookie in the European game, either way, you know, you're coming in as American, and you know, you're expected to, you know, maybe do a lot more on the court than others. So, I mean, you got to kind of pick it up quick, ask a lot of questions, and then you got to realize, all right, this is a job first. This is a job. So I approached it as such, asking a lot of questions and just trying to get better every day. And, you know, there's of course ups and downs, but you just, like I said, ask questions to coaches, players, or whoever you can lean on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, listening to that, I thought, like, last season, you know, you came in, you were 25 back then. And for me, after like a few months, I was like, man, this guy comes in here being 25, first experience in Europe. But, you know, the way, to me, you looked like a veteran. Yeah, the way you just, I don't know, there was so much consistency involved with you. Like, you came in always the same nice guy, no matter if we lost or won, you know, always willing to work. Yeah, it's a good teammate, you know. And I also had the feeling that you were always appreciative of the people around you.
For sure.
Where did this come from, or where does that come from?
Well, first of all, I'm like, every single day that I get to show up and play basketball is a blessing. So you can't take that for granted. And I play basketball, mind you, like, we play basketball for a job, right? This is the greatest job on earth. Mind you, it can be challenging, it can be tough, but like, I do what I love for a living and get paid to do it. That is 100% a blessing. So I try to approach it like that every single day. And mind you, you got your ups and downs and days where you don't feel like, oh, this is going to be hard today, or, you know, or you just not feeling that you had a bad game or whatever. But if I think I just try to put it all into perspective. And when you can see that perspective, it makes things a lot easier, because everybody else is going through their individual things as well. But like, if you can try to show up with the same attitude and same work ethic, same approach each and every day, then it becomes easier. And I'm a very routine person, so it makes it much easier to stay in the flow and the routine of the same things every single day in order to put my mindset in the right place, or whatever it was I did early in the morning, or before practice, pre-practice stuff, or whatever it was.
Yeah, leading by example fits you quite well, I would say.
And you said in another podcast, I think this was when you were just got out of the NBA, and they asked you Also, this kind of question, how it was in coming to Europe. And you said in Australia, you kind of got smacked in the face a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
So I guess you...
It's a fact, man. It's just like, it's a difference. You kind of, I mean, I got drafted before I went to Australia, and then I kind of, you know, I was coming over with expectations of myself, right? I wanted to play well and, you know, try to get back to the NBA, whatever, rather than just learning how to be a pro, getting better and trying to, you know, instead of trying to make a name for myself, just try to impact winning as much as I could. But I was just like, man, I want to play in the NBA. This is how I get back to the NBA. I was, you know, just overthinking everything, moving too fast, instead of just, you know, all right, slow down, you don't know everything, take it easy. And I think that helped my approach in every other situation, you know what I mean? Because once you learn that and you see that, it's like, all right, well, I know what situation I was in when I first left, and went to Australia. I don't want to ever go through that again. So sit down, listen, and learn, because you don't know everything.
What are there other things that helped you? Maybe like people around you to handle this, let's call it smack in the face a little bit?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
To dip out of that?
For sure. Firstly, it was my faith in Christ. And I knew that my faith in Christ would take me much farther than basketball would. So it was, I know who I am in Christ before anybody else labels me as any type of basketball player or whatever. So that was going to take me a lot longer, a lot farther, and, you know, past the basketball player. Then my family, of course. My family, they always have believed in me. I work my butt off, so I had to believe in myself as well. So it's like, okay, have a sense of confidence about yourself, but not arrogance. It's okay. All right, well, this is how you're going to go about this. You work too hard not to put yourself in a situation to be successful. So that's how I looked at it. Okay, well, you work your butt off every single day or every single summer in order to put yourself in a situation to be successful. After that, then, you know, if it doesn't work out, okay, well, at least I know I during the process, I did what I could to put myself in a situation. And then if you don't succeed once you're in the situation, then you obviously got to go through that same process again.
Yeah, I definitely want to underline what you said in the beginning, knowing who you identify as next to being being labeled as a basketball player.
Exactly.
Like having something else, not totally being reliant on that. And maybe your dream didn't go the way you wanted in the NBA, and kind of having space a little bit from that so you can focus on actually the task at hand.
Exactly.
Yeah, interesting.
Exactly. You can't. I mean, at the end of the day, when I stop playing basketball, there'll be plenty more basketball players that come in. But who is Devin as a man, right? He's a man of God. He's a man of Christ.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a tough, very tough thing, especially towards the end of careers.
For sure.
I see. If people.
Sure.
I think that's why a lot of players struggle with that.
For sure. No, for sure.
So tell us a little bit about your EuroLeague experience. It's also new for you. I'm a huge EuroLeague fan. I love to watch that league. It's my favorite basketball to watch.
Yeah.
So I got really excited whenever I see people I know from the BBL who step up, and I'm really interested on how they do.
Yeah.
And I guess it's safe to say you had a pretty good start.
Mm-hmm. No, it's been good, man. It's been, of course, it's a challenge. It's the best basketball in Europe. So I knew walking in it was going to be a challenge. And I wasn't going to shy away from that in any way. So I'm thankful to be in this spot. But, you know, it's every single night how you got to be locked in physically, mentally. It's a grind, man, but I enjoy it, and, you know, I'm thankful.
In my preparation of this for this episode, I stumbled on a quote from your new coach. And to put this a little bit in perspective, your point guard got injured in the beginning of the season, right? Malcolm Delaney, he suffered an injury a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Then, this is actually, the quote is about you. I'll just read it out here. So if we have survived our loss of our stunning point guard Malcolm Delaney, it is because Devin adapted. His ability to make plays, his defensive toughness. You can give Devin a very important player on, and you know that he will do his best to slow that guy down. Offensively, Devin is a reader and passer, and he has played the point guard fantastically for us to help us until Malcolm gets back.
Oh.
Listening to this, what does it do to you?
Well, no, I appreciate his words, and obviously shows that coach trusts me. But man, like I just want to win. That is my number one goal. Like any personal aspirations, they come after winning. Winning is the most important thing that I want to do, and if that means me playing in different positions and guarding multiple positions, then okay. All right, coach said, look, I need you to go in there and guard a five man. All right, come on, let's do it. Obviously, that's not going to be the case, but if it were the case, then I would do it because I want to win. That's most important. But I knew walking into this situation, what coach valued from me was my versatility. So I was going to have to be versatile, maybe play multiple positions. So, obviously last year too, it helped me play in multiple positions. It helped me prepare for this now.
And you said that you really appreciate the trust coach gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to talk a little bit on how on the coach players relationship. Yeah. In a way.
Yeah.
And because you know, like you described in earlier, it's the European game, it's so intense.
Yeah.
And very also the knowledge is, let's say, it's very tactical.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach really always have a clear game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And know what they want to execute against certain teams, where maybe in America it's more like you have your team identity a little bit more and you play through that. And right. In Europe let's say a little bit more versatile in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Tactically. And how much does that trust of yours in the coach play a role? Like, especially, I mean, if you're already in the season, it's kind of mandatory to trust him in a way, because you can't really route against, let's say, because that really doesn't work. But also maybe in the preseason,
mm-hmm.
How much does that interfere with your decision on where to go?
Well, I mean, obviously for me, it was a no-brainer. I was coming to play for Coach Messina, who's one of the best coaches. So yeah. So it was a no-brainer. Yeah. It was a no-brainer for me. But in terms of schemes, defensive schemes or offensive schemes, I think you got to go back to the you don't know everything mentality. You just go out there and try to execute the game plan as much as possible. But also, really good coaches are very aware if their game plan is not working, and they'll be quick to switch it. Because they want to win. Mm-hmm. They want to win just as much as we do. So I think the best coaches are always aware of if a game plan is working or is it not working, or is it the players not executing it well. And if they are, okay. Well, if they aren't, all right. Well, we need to maybe be stern with them and make sure they're, executing the game plan well.
Mm-hmm. And I hope it's not too early yet, but I watched you guys' game on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Against Fenerbahce, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, let's say, didn't have the greatest start.
Mm-hmm.
To the game.
Right.
And I like sometimes in EuroLeague you're lucky that you can actually watch a timeout and get a hear of what coach is saying. And he was basically saying, guys, you're not executing what I told you or what we told you to. That's why this is not working. Please start doing that.
Right, exactly. It wasn't his fault.
Now, to me, the question, I think it got... Yeah,
it,
yeah.
It wasn't his fault. It was our fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was for sure our fault.
Then in a team, how do you... I think it got better during the game, yeah. But you guys didn't have the, like, let's say, great spark to get it over the finish line, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But playing with these so experienced players, what are they looking for? What are you guys looking for as a team? How to get out of that hole? Like, what do you think is important in order to actually get out of the slump and start doing what you're supposed to do?
Well, I think, I mean, it boils down to leaders of our team, or even just communication. We try to figure out what we're not doing correctly, and then we go and try to fix it. We talk about it. Okay, well, all right, we're supposed to switch on this guy, but we haven't done it yet. Let's make sure we get that right. And if we don't get that right, all right, well, let's make sure we're holding each other accountable. So I think it's for sure a communication part. You gotta communicate well with your teammates and leaders. Obviously, if one guy isn't doing what he needs to, make sure you're holding each and every guy accountable.
And are there factors that you see, like, for example, when I see young teams, mm-hmm. really young teams, when they're in this, let's say, slump a little bit, they come out sloppy, I always hear them cheering louder, like getting more, let's go, let's yeah. get this 1-3, they celebrate, they got the championship in the hopes of getting that energy they're somehow lacking. With more experienced teams, I feel like I watch it, they get calmer and calmer in
yeah.
a way.
Yeah.
Like,
I think so too, just because, like you said, I think young teams sometimes they feed off of energy. Even veteran teams, they do the same, but the veteran guys have been in those situations. So, okay, well, maybe it might not be let's get loud, let's get rowdy, but it might be bring a group together, say what you have to say, all right, let's go execute. If you got a really good veteran group who doesn't need that extra, you know, clap rowdiness or whatever that a young group may need.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe also touching on that, I think Leonard said it in a way already, but that's something I heard you saying in one podcast I listened to. It's also according, like, to win games in Europe, you said it's a lot about figuring out what things you need to take away from the opponents versus things that you can give up. Can you comment on that? I thought it was very interesting.
I said that?
Yeah.
When did I
say? We got the quotes here, man.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to remember. I'm sitting here trying to remember when I said it on which podcast, what interview.
I don't know the name anymore.
You said I try to. You said I said. Can you say it again? Sorry.
Yeah, it's you said that in Europe it's a lot about figuring out what things you need to take away from the opponents versus things you can give up.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think you gotta, so there's things that certain teams do really well. Okay, so taking that away is your best bet. And then if they beat you in some type of a different way, obviously that's mm-hmm. what you can give up. Okay, oh, all right, well, if this guy is a right-hand driver and when he goes left, he likes to pull up threes, and if you know that 100% and you take that away, okay, but if this guy does right-hand step backs all game and he makes them contested, all right, well, this is what you're going to give up, but you may, okay, all right, you lose the game, but now it's, okay, hats off, smack him on the butt, hell of a game, we had our game plan, this is what we expected, but this is what he did. This is just a very wild mm-hmm. scenario. Or if you take a team out of a team who likes to play mid pick and roll, all right, they play mid pick and roll, and we say, all right, we're going to switch this, and when they throw it into the post, we're going to double team them. All right, we take them out of that, and we make them throw the ball all over the court. Okay, we took them out of their offense because they wanted to play mid pick and roll and pass it through the short roll and let their big guy make plays. Okay, we took them out of it because we switched it, and then we doubled the post. But if they play side pick and roll the whole game and throw a short corner and hit, you know, mid range or corner threes or whatever, then okay, that's what we gave up, right? We took away mm-hmm. what we thought was most lethal, and now we gave up mm-hmm. something. So you can't be perfect, man. This is a game full of really good basketball players. Exactly. Yeah, you can't mm-hmm. be perfect. You try to take away what's, you know, what a team is really, really good at, and then certain things that you have to live with.
What I found, like when I watch, I make it. It's fun to me trying to figure out also tendencies. Mm-hmm. And when I watched you, it just came to me that you're a left-handed shooter.
Yep.
But you're actually right-handed, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I'm right-handed. I write with my right hand.
How did that happen?
I do everything with my right hand. I eat with my right hand. I throw with my right hand. I write with my. I just when I was young, I used to shoot over my head with both hands. And my coach was like, "Devin, man, you can't shoot like this. You have to pick a side." So I just happened to pick my left hand. So. Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah,
to me it must be actually in the beginning a little bit awkward to guard because
yeah,
you're a lefty but you're like right-minded, let's mm-hmm. say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, maybe that was on purpose. change it up a little.
no, I mean I can do, you know, the same with both, but my right hand is just much more stronger, you know, it's dominant.
Yeah.
Except for shooting now. Yeah. Except for shooting threes and stuff.
Yeah, Leonard, which direction do you want to go?
I was just looking at the roster of Milan, mm-hmm. and I was wondering, kind of going back to a little bit to where we were already, playing with these guys like Kyle Heinz, who's a multiple EuroLeague Champions League titles, like EuroLeague titles, I mean, domestic leagues, then Sergio Rodriguez, international titles, NBA player, EuroLeague winner, domestic league winner.
And, legends.
I mean, Malcolm Delaney, like so many legends on that team, so many experienced players. And I mean, you kind of already described how you go into a group trying to learn, and I guess it's the same thing you did there.
Same approach.
I would assume.
Same approach, man, I think.
But and you think that's the key also to like connect and get the respect and become part of the team?
Yes, because those guys have been through so much. So you come in, you don't come in with the mindset like, this is my team, I'm be getting all the shots, I'm gonna be doing this. No, you walk in with the mindset of, how can I help? How can I help? You bring what you can do well to the table. So. But a team aspect is, all right, well, this guy does this well, this guy does this well, that guy does that well. So how do we bring that together? All right, well, that's what you try to figure out. And with these guys, you might go to them and say, all right, well, look, man, like, what do I need to do to help this team? What is something, or how can I get better on this? Or if I see Chacho or Malcolm I'm on a pick and roll read and I need help with it, I'm like, okay, all right, well, but what are you looking at when you come off of this? Or how do you see this? Or or how do you attack this in this way? Or, you know, or Kyle, because Kyle likes a short roll. All right, well, I'm going to stay spaced that way. You know, I'll let you read and make your plays out of the short roll. So it's just questions you ask and stuff like that.
And did you already have like this one thing in the podcast? We would call it a brain pop you had with him, like something you picked up from them that just kind of blew your mind a little bit too much, but maybe that just tweaked a little bit your perception where you're like, this comes easy to me or something. Did you already have something like that with these guys?
That's a hard question to answer just because like you grasp so much over the course of a season to where like you like, oh dang, I didn't even understand that, or oh dang, I didn't remember that. But there wasn't one thing that I can narrow it down to. There's been we've been here since August, so it's like it's been a long while, you know. It's been, and we see each other every day practically, so
yeah true. Probably that comes after the season, right
and then you can sit down and you can be like, okay, all right. Oh, wow. I didn't realize that, you know.
Yeah.
How would you, when you came in, how would you describe the team chemistry there? Because a few guys of your team, they already played a few years there. How was that? Or how is it?
It was good, man. I think the team chemistry was really good just because we have great guys on this team, man. Like, really, really good guys. And they're super likable. We get along well. We can laugh, joke, play around. So I mean, it made it easy coming into it. Guys just wanted to be around each other, and when you got guys that want to be around each other and good leaders up top, then it makes things much easier for us. But chemistry was good, man. It was good. We clicked pretty well. guys weren't trying to, you know, when you first come into a season, everybody's overpassing, you know, trying to make sure like they're not the one, you know. So this, of course there was that. But that's like, you know, credit to Coach Messina and the staff and the organization for getting really good guys.
Mm. How did you guys get out of that, the overpassing?
Coach Messina, you know, yell, you shoot the ball, you're open, shoot it.
Okay, it's that easy, I guess.
yeah, no, just shoot the ball, man. Just be aggressive, be assertive. That's most of the thing. You got to be assertive, man, especially playing at this level. If you're just passive, then it's hard, and, you know, it's hard to be effective.
What is something you would maybe describe that you guys are working on right now, or that you seem like, okay, this is something we want to look at in the next couple of weeks? Do you have something like that, or is it literally just game to game, because it's going so quick that you can't really focus on something like that at this point?
I'm gonna leave that question out. We don't have to talk about that question. So okay. You can delete. Okay. Just because. Okay. Yeah.
I figured. It's nothing.
It's not like it's anything amazing, but I'll keep that one out just because, you know.
Yeah. Sure. I saw that coming, but like I said, I was just gonna give it a try.
It's all right. Shoot, man. I respect it.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll go on. Hey, Devin, one of your former teammates, he has a question for you, Chris Sengfelder.
My guy, that dude, man, stud.
I ask him, hey, you know what? We have Devin on the show, and is there maybe something new you want to ask him? And he was like, yeah, of course. He wanted to know from you, what are the advantages and the disadvantages of having such a packed schedule?
Oh, well, I'll tell you one advantage. If you play a bad game, you have another game coming up in the next 2 days. Yeah. And that's a joke there, but it's actually true in a sense too. But because I was just talking to one of my friends, man, I was like, because I played a bad game a couple games ago, I was like, we got so many games, man. I was like, I just played terrible. I said, but thankfully we got a game in 2 days, so we'll be all right. But no, a disadvantage probably, man, just like trying to, I'm still trying to figure out is like the rest versus also, you know, trying to, you know, hone in on your skill work. Well, for me personally, trying to, you know, fine tune some things in the middle of a season like this, because like, you have to rest. The games are very intense and very physical. Like, and you play so many of them, it's like where you have to be able to like, all right, Devin, sit down, like relax, get recovery, and like just calm down. Because I mean, it's a mental load just as much as it's a physical load. You know, it's you gotta turn around, you discount report for this team, but then the next team. But then you gotta make sure your body is right, and so it's just it's hectic with a lot of games, and so that's probably one of the disadvantages, but I'm sure Chris already knew that.
And how do you still sprinkle in some lifting sessions? Is there time for it? I mean, some microdosing?
For sure, like especially if we have 2 days in between, or I'll get so if we have 2 days in between, then I'll get a lift on the first day. And then the next day we'll have obviously preparing for the game, or if we have game Tuesday, practice day Wednesday, game Thursday. Within the Wednesday day, I usually get like you said, micro dosing. I get like a small lift in as like a recovery lift that way, because it's very hard. If you can't lift heavy, if you do, you're gonna be hurting, man. So but that also goes with your preparation during the summer too, you know. So you prepare for it, so you can have your body in physical shape. That way, you can withstand an entire season.
And how is that? Does every player has their individual little schedule, or do you lift together if there is time for a lift, or how do you guys handle that?
we have our own, like, they send out schedules for us, and we have our own, like, our own times to go in and lift or get, okay, go get to the physio, and, you know, and they get on the court. But obviously, we all start at the same time for basketball stuff.
And how do you, I think you, in the pre-show, you said that you guys just had 5 games within 9 days or something like that.
Yeah.
And you just kind of also described, obviously, the physical load, but also the mental load. Mm-hmm. You know, all these emotions going on, and before, after the game, and then you played good, you played well. Like, it's like a roller coaster.
Right.
And is there anything that helps you trying to, let's say, how do you say, fat down? It's the English
digest.
Word. Digest, exactly. Thank you, Dom. Digest that mentally, let's say. Is there anything that you feel like that helps you, that you usually do, or is it just coming with the flow?
Most of the time, it's just like, okay, well, you play the game, and then you got another one coming up quick. It's just it's about, obviously, processing that game, seeing your mistakes, seeing your stuff that you did well, and then, okay, well, how can I take the stuff I did well, bring it over to the next game, and how can I be better about the mistakes that I made? Yeah, I mean, I think you just got to process it quick. And then if you play bad, move on. You got to have a short memory. And I think basketball players are really good at that anyway. Well, the really good basketball players are good at having a short memory, just because you can't be worried about, so, you know, things that happened in the past when, you know, every play is like this. So just having a short memory, man. I think having a short memory. Short memory on the things that you didn't do well. I should be more specific.
Yeah, obviously. And we had other players, for example. This was, I think, more when they have a couple more days off. For example, going fishing or golfing or just being in the nature, like just having quiet time. Do you do anything like that to get your mind off things? Or
so, man, I love to fish. But it's hard in Italy. Obviously, it's freezing right now.
Yeah.
When I first got there in the summer, I actually was going out fishing with a guy I actually met. And we met, went out fishing on, it's like 45 minutes, an hour away from Milan. And it's just peaceful, man. You get your mind off of things. And it helps you relax and get your mind off of things.
Yeah.
There's one thing, Devin, that stood out to me. I think I never told you that. It was after you suffered your wrist injury last season. Mm-hmm. Like 2 days later, you were obviously out, and we had another game. And I think you came into the arena. And you had like a cast, I think it was.
Yeah, a cast on my wrist, yeah.
Yeah. And I think you were the first or the second guy in the arena. And usually what we did last year before games, you know, me, our assistant coach, we would always rebound for the guys doing warm-ups. And you were also there with your cast under the basket, rebounding for your teammates. And when I saw this, I was like, God damn it, how amazing is that? Again, I have to ask you to describe, where does that come from? Because I think that is very special.
Well, I think part of being a good teammate, well, even a teammate or just a person in general, is, all right, well, I try to walk in the lines of how can I serve you? Okay, well, if you do that, then it makes it much easier to be a good teammate, because I'm not here to say, okay, well, this person, well, I feel like I'm less than this person because I'm saying, how do I serve you? But it's what my faith tells me to do, that as a, be a servant of Christ, right? So you're a servant of people. So, all right, well, I got my left hand works. My right hand may have a cast on it, but my left hand works. And I wanted to be there for my teammates because I wanted to be on the court. All right, let me help them prepare for this tough game to get ready to play. So, all right, let me help, let me rebound. But serving others is very important to me, and that's just how my mind works, man. So it wasn't even something I thought about. Okay, well, when I get there, I gotta make sure I rebound for it. It was second nature for me just to do that, just because those are my guys. I wanted to be out there playing with them, and this is how I can't serve you by playing on the court with you. All right, but I can for sure rebound. I got this left hand that works.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that's such a huge sign within the team to me. It's just a small thing. You don't even plan it or anything. You just kind of do it. Mm-hmm. But the message that sends, especially, you know, I always was a guy when I had the luck that I was on the BBL team, I was more a practice guy. Like, if everything went normal, I didn't play, let's say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you still go on the court, you got to warm up. And then if a player that usually plays a big role rebounds for you, that's such a big, like, you appreciate it. Okay, he's making sure I can warm up. He's showing, respect mm-hmm. in a way. And that's so uplifting also for the team. And somebody like Dom sees it, and you have, like, a whole different attitude on the bench celebrating and stuff. And it, like, that stuff just takes you so long, I think, especially during a long season with a lot.
Right, a ton of them, right.
Yeah, that's a great mindset. I love that. I just want to say that one more time.
Yeah, appreciate that.
So, you know, we have Dom being a staff member of Memberg and a strength and conditioning coach. Maybe you could talk a little bit on how you see the role of staff in general.
Well,
how much of an influence they have and stuff
how
like that.
How do players perceive staff members? that's interesting to me.
Well, I think their commitment to their job is unlike any others, because the hours aren't the same as, you know, a regular job, bankers or whatever. So I think their commitment to their jobs is outstanding, of course, because most of them all have families. They got kids, they got wives they want to go home to and spend time with them. But the hours that you have are crazy. You guys travel on the road, may have a long bus trip back, and then you get home in the middle of the night, but you might have to take your kid to work, and I mean not to work but to school, and then but you got to get back to the gym because we have another practice, and then you have to be prepared of what you have for each player. So I think, you know, that commitment that our staff and, you know, that you guys had was phenomenal, and thankful. I was more than thankful for what you guys did for me and everybody else on the team, just because it's a hard job, man. It's a hard job. It's demanding.
You have certain expectations that you or something that you really always, let's say, look for on the staff, like an important position that you look at, that you know, okay, I want a lot of guys there, like player development coach or strength and conditioning coach or maybe even a mental coach or physiotherapist. What's, like, important to you?
No, obviously all of those are important, but I think that in order to have, like, a really good strength and conditioning coach or a really good skills coach, forming a good relationship with them and then finding out what they actually do, what are they good at, you know what I mean? Creating a relationship with them and then saying, okay, all right, well, I think Stefan was talking about this on his last podcast. Listening to the player about, okay, well, what do you need to work on? All right, well, how do your body feel? And, like, listening to the player, I think that's very, very important. And you did a hell of a job doing that, Dom. It's like, okay, well, how do you feel? How's your body feel? Okay, well, this hurts, don't do it. Like, you know, so instead of saying, all right, well, this is a list of things, you're going to do it. I think we're past that era now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we're really past that era. Yeah. And that's good, I think. That's very good.
Yeah, so but no, like, I think you were really good with that, and that was very, very good for me to see in my first year coming to Europe, is that, you know, we've got a strength coach who knows exactly what he's talking about. So that, because I came from a program in college who was high level, he was the best of the best in the States. So it's coming to you, who knows exactly what you're talking about too. I'm like, all right, well, cool. I'm walking into the same situation. I can trust what this guy's saying, and trust obviously is a big part of that entire thing.
Yeah, There was one situation that I still remember. I'm not sure if you remember that still, but we were talking about rolling patterns that you always did rolling in your college or something like. Exactly. You know, I'm always like, I think whenever I ask that from players, they think I'm a complete fool and I lost it now. But when
if it's gonna make me a better player, help me move better, so I can be more effective on the court, sign me up.
Or feel better, which is basically most of the time the most important thing.
Is how you feel, right? Exactly.
How was that coming from college and NBA? If you know, America is known for being top-notch, let's say, at this type of stuff. Very, very professional. I mean, you can be lucky in Europe for sure, but there are usually also stations, especially at the beginning in your rookie season, where you're maybe not at the greatest team already with the most professional program behind it. How big of a challenge is that for players to like take this step down?
Well, I mean, if you view it as taking a step down, then you can also, you're a professional, right? So it's up to you to make sure your body feels good, make sure, you know, you're eating the right stuff, or make sure you're getting enough work in. So you can take the approach of, I know what makes me feel good. I know what makes me stronger. Because if you're so-called taking a step down, then of course, then you've been into the place where it's the pinnacle of it. All right, well, you take that stuff you did there and you bring it to that so-called step down.
So the responsibility just shifts to you instead of you having a good excuse of not doing stuff.
It's at the end of the day, this is your career. You know what I mean?
I think that's always such a big thing, especially when we're talking about staff and their you know, how they can help you. Is it them coming to you offering this all the time, here, let me help, or should it be the other way around?
Right, exactly. It's like, okay,
yeah, like, well, you being on their nerves.
Exactly. You walk in, or if you were just a type of, like, I'm a type of person that, like, I know what makes my body feel good, and I know like what I need to hit right when I walk into the gym. So like, I just get to it. I'm just like, all right, well, I'm in the gym, time to work, let's get to it. But if coach comes to me and say, all right, well, I think we need to work on this, whatever, I'm like, all right, cool, let's do it.
Yeah. Also, I think a very, very small thing in a way, but very big. And I don't see a lot of top players, let's say, who don't do that, who don't have an eye for that.
Leonard, do you want to shift the focus on, I think it's already our last topic, right?
Yeah. What is it? What topic? What did we touch on?
I think we touched on it already a little bit, the role of a head coach.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, we touched on it a little bit already. Yeah, what else? Trust is one big thing,
believing
in the style of play, I would say.
But also, I think too, man. So with head coaches, man, I think you really have to understand just as much as like pressure that maybe we feel as players. They're going through the same exact type of pressures, right? So, or maybe even more, like their job may be on the line and we not even know it as players. You know, I think as players too, you have to understand that, you know, these certain pressures are on the coach just as much as they're on the players. You know, so they have to, you got to be kind of just be as understanding as possible within, you know, obviously the lines of respect that, you know, when the lines of respect can't be crossed, of course.
Yeah, obviously. And I think you said handling this pressure. The coaches are also under a tremendous amount of pressure.
Yeah.
And obviously, every human reacts different to pressure.
Right.
But I think the head coach has a huge impact on the rest of the team, how they can handle the pressure, because they are the head of the snake in a way.
Yeah.
And like, call me crazy, but when I love to watch Andrea Trinchieri's teams, especially in the EuroLeague.
Yeah.
because, you know, he's a very emotional head coach. You know, when you see him on the side, it's a show. It's a fun to watch him because he's very much into the game, like up and down roller coaster. And I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like I can see this in the way his team plays. It's always big runs, huge comebacks, close games. It's like I see this, let's say, Italian emotions in his style of play of the teams. Would you agree to that?
I don't. I mean, I think in general, like the coach has a huge responsibility in terms of, you know, maybe, you know, his reactions on the sideline or whatever, because you have to understand maybe one player can handle that, but another player may not be able to handle that. So I think learning your players and, you know, how to speak to one versus how to speak to another to get the best out of both of them is very important too. It's like my dad, like I played for my dad, right, in high school, and my dad was a very tough coach to play for. Like, he was on me, of course, especially. So when it comes to, and, you know, obviously some stuff was said to me that, you know, I mean, that I had to go home to. But, like, and I got a fantastic relationship with my dad now, of course. But, like, now, so for me coming to Europe, it was like, I can play for any of these coaches because there's no way as a grown man I would let anything like that be said to me. You know what I mean? That some of the stuff like that. And, you know, it's always a line of respect. I think if you approach any situation, a difficult situation with a coach with respect, they always come with it back. You know what I mean? So I think that's the right way to do it, is always, you know, be calm as much as possible and, you know, walk with respect and, you know, talk with respect. And then the coach will understand, okay, well, I'm talking to a man here first and not just a basketball player. And I think that's most important too.
And we discussed a little bit on past podcasts, the coaching style. And sometimes I feel like, and this is a question for you if you see the same thing, I feel like I see a little bit of a shift from, let's say, this very hard-nosed, tough coaching, very straightforward, to more towards a see the player more towards the players, more on this relationship, because I feel like the knowledge is more there how important this small stuff is to get the most out of your players.
100%. I think
you see that type of shift too.
100%. I think you have to, you first, when you bring players in, or you have to let players be themselves, right? I think you get the best out of players when they're themselves. You can be yourself. You can be yourself, but also within a team aspect. So, if you're a very goofy person or whatever, you know, like, you can still be yourself and enjoy what you do every single day without, you know, having a coach saying, you can't laugh. You can't, you know, just, you have to let people be who they are. You know what I mean? You're bringing them in for a reason. And if, you know, if being goofy is what gets the best of basketball out of you, okay, cool. You know what I mean? That's just an exaggeration, but.
You feel like, well, you kind of answered that already, but I feel like with young players going through that for a certain amount of time, having this very hard coaching and like really not like, I tell you this and this is how it goes, it helps them. But I mean, this is another question since you already said that it helped you.
Yeah, it does. You have to, because you have to learn a certain level of discipline first in order to get to a level of freedom.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Your current teammate, Kyle Hines, calls your current coach at Torre Messina the professor of the game.
Yeah.
How would you describe him? What makes him so special?
I would say the same. He knows the game so well, and he's obviously very demanding. but he can pick apart the game to where, you know, it makes it easier for you. Like, these are, you know, certain reads, like, oh, okay, what if this guy switches, then boom, we're going back, throw it to the shake guy, dump it in, let's make a play out of that. Or, you know, big guy switches on you, attack. Like, he makes the game simple, but he also, you know, he lets you, you know, he lets you be yourself. He enjoys coaching. We enjoy being around this group of guys and this organization. So, but like Kyle said, he's a wizard, man. He knows the game really well. So it's a joy to learn, you know, in certain situations. All right, what is he going to draw up here? All right, I see that. And then boom, I'm like, dang, hell of a play. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Out of timeouts, after timeouts, those plays, it's always fun to see a great coach go to work then.
Yeah, no, Johan too, though. Johan has some hella, yeah, some great ATOs.
Big strength.
I remember one time, I'll never forget, we were in NBC, and we were in a floppy action, and they were guarding Alex Ruoff a certain way, and so instead of coming off the floppy, they were kind of like topping him, and he had the four, I can't remember the four or the five, if Chris was playing the four or the five, pop out, point guard threw it to the four, and he just threw it right down to Alex Ruoff right under the bucket because of the way they're playing. And, like, you know, to be able to see that, and he was like, all right, well, this is how they're guarding him. We had ran it a couple of times, and Johan saw this. He's like, all right, well, this is how they're guarding him. Let's do this. And I was like, and I remember after it happened, I pointed to Johan, and I was like, great play.
Yeah.
One quote. I'll have one quote for you, Devin. You gotta tell me what comes to your mind when you hear this.
A lot of quotes this podcast, man. I like it.
Yeah, it's a lot of quotes this time. Be where your feet are.
Man, that's the epitome. I literally say it to myself before every game. It's like the epitome of staying in the moment. It's what you can't. You're right here in this moment. Be here in this moment. Take full advantage of it. Don't look too far in the future. Don't look too far in the past. But be here in this moment. Enjoy it. I got that, actually, that quote, "Be where your feet are." I got it from. He's actually the head coach of Oklahoma City Thunder now, but he was my G League coach, Mark Dagnall. Hell of a guy, great coach, great man. He's a really, really good man. And he helped me a ton too. I took that, that'll stick with me for the rest of my life. Be where your feet are.
Yeah, that's a good brain pop right there.
That's a great brain pop, yeah.
Yeah, so... yeah. Oh, one more thing. Since you know the podcast, man. One last question we always ask our guests on here: if you know somebody that you would could hook us up with or connect, let's say, and maybe they can star on this podcast also. Anybody that you would like to listen to, maybe.
Leonard, Devin is prepared. I prepared him.
Okay,
I got two for you. I would say two of my past teammates that were when I was in Bamberg, because I got to talk to them a lot, just about, like, because they were obviously, they're older than I was, but either Chase Feeler or Tyler Larson, I would for sure talk to them, because I would have times where I would maybe drop Tyler off when he was injured, and me and Tyler would sit out in the car and talk for an hour. just about and he's got so much knowledge, and Chase does too. He's been around everywhere, and he's smart, hell of a dude, great, both two great dudes. So I would say, awesome. Talk to them, stay within the Bamberg realm, and then branch out. Yeah,
that's good.
I think that's a good idea.
Perfect.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much, man, for being here in this moment with us, sharing your experiences, your wisdom, I would call it.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope a lot of people got some brain pops out of this. I know I got, for sure.
No, thank you guys for having me.
Best of success, huh?
I appreciate it.
I'll keep
you,
watching.
This podcast is dope, man. I'm happy to see you guys getting it rolling, and Leonard, nice to meet you, man. I know you guys will be successful.
Sure. Thank you, man. Nice to meet you too.
And we're back. It's after show time. Leonard, what's stuck with you?
Right into it. Yeah, I got to be honest. You know, I'm kind of cheating a little bit. I'm using your cheat code. You always do these little brain pops and these little quotes we always post on Instagram. And you already sent them to me. And they're ordered chronologically. And yeah, I just kind of went through them. And the first thing that really stuck to me, and I was kind of like, okay, we're done after this. Everything is said, is that the mindset that Devin has when he comes to new teams, the way he views his job as a basketball player. And, you know, on the one hand, this, I don't know everything. I want to learn from my teammates, from my coaches, from the staff, you know. And at the same time, he also is confident in himself, but not arrogant, and knows what he brings to the table. And yeah, like we said in earlier episodes, it's about the happy medium. And I think he really has that balanced out very well. And that's why he can fit in so many teams and so many leagues and be constantly successful.
Man, that was a great summary of the episode, basically.
But see, you say it's a summary of the episode. It's basically the first 5 minutes, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where you said it all.
Yeah, but there, you mentioned so many good things already. And I think I said that before to you, even before we were recording the episode. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I've worked with him for a couple of months. Yeah. He's just so incredibly mature for only being 26 years old.
Yeah, yeah, that's really incredible. And you know, you set the bar really high in the pre-show, saying he's an awesome guy or whatever you said.
I said he's
took
a hell
easy.
Of a guy. Yeah,
he took it easy.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, since I always write down these quotes for our posts, I have mm-hmm. to say I listened to this episode 3 times, and
wow.
And yeah, with each listen, there were still new things coming up for me that I didn't notice before. Mm. And it's crazy. And, you know, I say it again. I just really like, you know, he's so incredibly likable, humble, and also like selfless, I have the feeling.
Mm.
Yeah, it's crazy to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and... also, one thing that really stuck with me already when he said it right in the episode, I think I mentioned it during the episode already, what he takes from his belief in Christ. Like he said, I'm a man of Christ first and before anybody labels me as a basketball player. And that was really, really important to me. Obviously, it doesn't have to be the belief in Christ, but knowing who you are off the court and what you believe in and what you identify as can help you so much balancing out all these emotions, even especially when it goes down, it goes bad, you know, not your whole self confidence is connected to that. Like you still know who you are and what you believe in. And that can be, you know, anything, with him, it was the belief in Christ. With other people, it's, I don't know, being a dad or being a mom or I don't know. That can be so, like, that's very individual. But having this, I think, is really, really important in any type of job where you, yeah, want to succeed or are under some kind of pressure, let's say.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think you can even link it to one more former episode with Alex Ruoff where he said never get too high, never get too low. And I said during the episode that with Devin, it's a lot about consistency. It doesn't matter if we win or lose. Devin always comes in with the same mindset. He's always the same great guy. And, you know, that's why I think never get too high, never get too low also fits him perfectly.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think that then comes automatically. If you have something that you identify with, knowing who you are, off the court also, besides this job, being a basketball player or a coach or whatever, you never get too high and you will never get too low. You know, that just comes with it then automatically. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and so many small things. It's like you said, when I listened to it again, I really liked the part about the, you know, when it goes bad for a team. For a coach, is it me? Is it my game plan? Versus, is it the players just not executing it? You know, figuring that out, not too easy, I imagine, especially in the heat of the game. And then also, okay, if it's second, the team is just not executing, how do you get the team to execute? You know, like, okay, that's the, yeah, the big question here. And, you know, that he shared the thoughts of, like, you know, veteran teams, they kind of get calmer, they hold each other accountable. I think that was really important. And but still, I think that's a very key factor for being successful. And yeah, the way, what he described there, really, I found that very interesting also.
Yeah. And spot on with him. Also what he said, it's just so true. Have a sense of confidence in yourself, but not arrogance. That fits him 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Devin, for being our guest.
Yes. Yes. If you listen to this again, thanks again. Also to our listeners, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode.
Lennart, puppies. Puppies,
I'm sorry. I'm not sure if you guys enjoyed listening as much as you do, Dom, me three times. But if you made it here this far for one time, we appreciate you. We appreciate you taking the time. Let us know if you had any brain pops, how you liked it. We're always open for feedback. And we hope you guys tune in the next episode, episode 50. It will be in English and it will be another special guest.
And one thing I have to say, Lennart, even though I probably listened to each episode three times, I have yet to, how should I put it? I have yet to get tired listening to you, so.
Yeah, way to make this uncomfortable, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, until next time, anniversary episode 50 is coming up.
Damn. Yes, sir. Let's do this.
Bye-bye.